The Democrats, for their part, nominated Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis, whose technocratic demeanor, commentator Gary Wills called him the first truly secular candidate for president in U.S. history, made George H.W. Bush look like a down-home Baptist deacon. The Republican nominee also adopted Robertson's indictments of Dukakis, his membership in the anti-religious American Civil Liberties Union, refusal to endorse the religious language in the Pledge of Allegiance, and imputed tolerance of child pornography, and found them effective. In a nutshell, Bush's courtship of the Christian right paid off. Some of this benefit drained away by 1992, after the name-calling Republican primary campaign waged against Bush by Patrick Buchanan over cultural issues. In the general election, independent presidential nominee H. Ross Perot diverted secular Republicans from Bush, and the Democrats put part of the old Confederacy back in play by selecting Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton, a Southern Baptist, albeit one allied to the moderate liberal faction that was anathema to the SBC's ruling fundamentalists. Doubling his bet on the Upper South, Clinton selected another moderate liberal Southern Baptist, Tennessee Senator Albert Gore, as his running mate. Thus, after carrying all 11 ex-Confederate states against Dukakis in 1988, Bush held only 7: Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Texas, while Clinton took Arkansas, Tennessee, Louisiana, and Georgia. The Southern Baptist Convention, fighting its own factional civil war, stuck with the GOP incumbent. Bush had spoken to the SBC's national meeting in 1991, tearfully reassuring the audience that the Gulf War had overcome his Episcopalian inhibitions about praying in public. Quayle addressed another national meeting in 1992, attacking abortion, homosexuality, and sex education, and characterizing the 1992 campaign as a war between traditional values and the agenda of the liberal cultural elite. The upshot, among white SBC voters, was a 49% to 37% Bush-Quayle lead over the all-Baptist Democratic team, in comparison to the 43% to 38% margin for Clinton over Bush in the nation as a whole. Even more revealingly, the Republican presidential edge among frequent church attenders jumped to 14%, 4 points higher than Nixon's breakthrough numbers 20 years earlier. In 1992, according to Vanderbilt University's Lehman, the religion gap had become unmistakable. Bolsey and DeMaio, in turn, reported that by the first Clinton election, divisions among party elites spilled into the general election and were so apparent in exit poll and public opinion data that one team of academic researchers identified 1992, alternatively, as the year of the evangelical and the year of the secular. The vote distribution of white respondents who indicated that they had backed a major party candidate supports this assertion. Clinton carried 3/4 of the secular vote, while George H.W. Bush won 2/3 of the traditionalists. Data from Gallup and the Voter News Service likewise confirm 1992 as an inflection point for religious frequent attenders. Most of us, myself included, paid too little attention to this sea change, now startlingly clear in hindsight. Within weeks of Clinton's 1992 election, unfriendly state SBC conventions had passed resolutions recommending that the president-elect be guided by prayer and biblical principle. Floridians urged him to stop supporting abortion and homosexual rights, and delegates to the national SBC meeting in 1993 passed a resolution combining the two themes. Churchgoer dissatisfaction with Clinton boiled over by 1994, helping to bring about the Southern-led GOP takeover of Congress. Regular church attenders polled 8 points more Republican than other voters in the 1994 elections, the highest disparity in congressional contests to date. On the GOP side, party gains below the Mason-Dixon line in 1994 once again drew on local dissatisfaction with a Southern Democratic presidency. This was the first, however, to result in a takeover of Congress led by Southern Republicans. In 1953, when the GOP House of Representatives elected with Dwight Eisenhower convened, the geography of Republican control was still as northern as a blue Yankee uniform. The northeastern delegation was lopsidedly Republican, 64%, while members from the South were almost solidly Democratic, 92%. Even in 1973, when Watergate aborted GOP-Dixie fusion, the old blue-gray division still prevailed. The Southern upheaval in 1994 was the key to the congressional revolution. Even in 1997, as Congress remained Republican despite Clinton's re-election, the South sent the most Republican, 61%, of regional delegations to the House of Representatives, while the Northeast chose the most Democratic, 59%. Nearly a quarter century after George McGovern's defeat in 1972, the Great Reversal had finally come to Congress.